Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Penguins chat. Andrew Destin, of course, with Matt Wenzel here. Before we get into any Penguins talk about the team on their current four-game win streak, I want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your new home or in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. Again, that's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. All right, the Penguins are 7-6 on the season overall, have won four in a row, including going a perfect 3-0 on the West Coast road trip out to California. So currently sit at 6 in the Metro and take on the Blue Jackets Tuesday night in Columbus. But the premise of this podcast, we want to talk about some trends from the start of the season. There are certainly a number of them, whether you're looking at the special teams, whether you're looking at 5-on-5 play. And one of the first that comes to mind for the forefront with the Penguins is the finishing issues from the beginning of the year, changing for the better recently in the win streak. So the way we'll kind of go about this with the podcast is I'll throw out a couple of trends there, and we'll see what Matt's thoughts on them are. So the first one.
But whether they'll continue, correct? We got to frame this properly. Yep. All right. Let's go.
All right. First and foremost, finishing issues. Well below expected goals for at the start. Now pretty far above, kind of finding themselves in the middle. Last year, certainly finishing issues was a problem. It seems to have gone in the better direction now. Do you expect that to continue? What are you expecting on that front?
To a degree, yes. Everything's really inflated by the fact that they scored 10 goals against the Sharks, the league's worst team. So that's going to skew those numbers a little bit back in the right direction. But I do think the finishing, last year, the Penguins, we've talked about this in this space previously, but last year, the Penguins were number two in the league in expected goals, according to SportLogic's tracking, and they finished 16th in actual goals. So the biggest discrepancy in the league in terms of process versus results. And that's how the season started for the Penguins. Obviously, as you said, during this winning streak, they're starting to put the puck in the net. So I do think that's going to trend back to normal in terms of that. But I still don't know if this is going to be a team that's scoring above expectation. The good news is I get a bunch of chances, pretty much every game. So, it's better that you're getting chances than you are finishing kind of at an abnormal rate. It's funny though, the last game we saw them play against Buffalo, another game where they had a boatload of chances and they couldn't score on their quality chances. And Brian Rust pointed this out after the game, we scored on some of our worst chances. We saw Malkin score from the corner. We saw Drew O'Connor's first goal. So they did get the puck luck that they've been saying is going to go their way. So long answer here. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think, the finishing is going to be better than it was last year, but I don't think they're going to be some elite finishing team. And that might not matter if they're generating this number of chances every game.
Right. You kind of beat me to it there. I was going to ask you there on that point, just given how last year, like you mentioned, second in the league in expected goals for, would just being a league average team in terms of finishing, like being right around the number that they're expected to, would that be enough of a trend for the Penguins to be able to, qualify for the playoffs or just in general be a successful team, whatever that's determined as of however deep of a run? But if you were just an average team at finishing the way that they've been, I guess, over the course of the season, though it's been a bit of a roller coaster up and down, well below and then well above, if you're just an average team, is that enough for this core to be able to get to the postseason, you think?
Yeah, get to the postseason, sure. Yeah, I mean, chances plus decent finishing is going to result in enough goals, especially if they're playing defensively the way they've been recently. They're probably going to need more if they're going to go for a deep run. That's a long way down the road here. But, as Mike Sullivan said the other day, and he said it previously, like the DNA of this team is offense. So, they're going to need to score at a high rate. They're not, they can defend all right. We've seen it over the last couple of weeks. But, if they're going to do anything this year, they're going to need to score a lot of goals. So, yeah, I think, if they're getting decent shooting percentage on these chances, plus, top five and the opportunities they're getting, that's going to be a pretty good formula.
Right. Speaking of offense being the DNA of the team, that kind of takes us into the next trend I wanted us to get into, is with the team being carried by the top guys, right? It's no secret here in Pittsburgh that the big three is always going to be at the forefront. That seems to be the case here, especially even with these guys in age 36, 37 seasons. The question to you is, can this team sustainably be carried by the top guys, you know, without the depth forwards, bottom six being key scorers? Can the lead guys continue to lead the charge, and can that be a sustainable trend?
I mean, I believe that the lead guys can no doubt, lead the charge. We're seeing it right now. Sid's playing great. Malkin is playing possibly just as well, maybe even better. Carlson's really picking up steam. Letang's not putting up the points, but he's playing a great all-around game. Brian Rust is on a heater to start the year. Riley Smith has been good. Go on and on down the list. I mean, this team was built for their, top two lines and top two pairs to do, carry most of the load. So we're seeing that now. That said, it doesn't necessarily mean that this team is going to go anywhere. We saw that last year. Crosby and Malkin played every game together for the first time in their careers. Sid, flirted with 100 points for a little while. Gino played well. And they still missed the playoffs. So I do think the supporting cast is better. The energy around the team is different. You have to think the goaltender is going to be better than it was last year. But just because those guys are playing awesome, they're stars. And even if it continues, it doesn't guarantee that the Penguins are going to make the playoffs.
Right. When you look at that group in particular, I mean, it seems like everybody is really on a heater right now. The only exception maybe you would say is Ricard Raquel, who's been impactful for that line in other ways. But it really just kind of seems like this is a group that still, even at this stage, those guys are kind of carrying play or leading that charge. Is there anything more that you look at from those top two lines that you really could ask for if you're Mike Sullivan, or is this about what you would expect from these groups?
Just power play. They're starting to pick up steam in the power play, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But yeah, that would be the one area. I mean, they're certainly doing it at 5-on-5. I mean, even the third line as well. I mean, if you look at some of the, sites like Natural Stat Trick or Money Puck in terms of their expected goals models, all three of those lines are pretty good, particularly the top two in terms of just, chances generated for and against. If there's anything to nitpick at this point, it's just put the puck in the net on the power play.
You highlighted Carlson there when talking about some of the main guys. Obviously, a huge offseason acquisition for the Penguins. At the beginning of the season, or rather leading up to that San Jose game, there was discussion about, I know you wrote about this, with Carlson, of whether or not he can unlock another level to his game. Mike Sullivan said as much. The last five games in particular, it seems like he has kind of taken that next leap. 9 points, first two-goal effort, albeit one of them was an empty netter for the Penguins in Saturday's win. What do you think has been the key to him having greater success lately? And is this a trend that Penguins fans should expect to continue from the guy who was billed as perhaps the savior for the Penguins coming into the season?
Well, I still think there's more there. No doubt he's been productive over the last five games. What is it, 3 goals, 6 assists, +8 rating? I mean, he's getting it done. I think the area where we're really seeing it shine is his breakout passes. He already was one of the league's best defensemen in terms of completing stretch passes. And we've really seen that show up in some of the goals recently, but just his kind of nifty playmaking he just has a way of like leaning one way, pulling a defender and almost like passing back across his body to make just a quick little pass that just unlocks the breakout and away the Penguins go. His 2 goals the other night, look, one was an empty netter. The other one was a shot from the point that hit a stick and went in. So, I think that's kind of skewing a little bit in terms of production. So I still think there's more there in terms of him as a scorer. But, I mean, is this guy up to a point per game at this point? And we're still talking about that there might be more there for him to hit. I think that's a great sign. And also defensively, I mean, him and Pettersson have been really solid together. I mean, a lot of that has to do with Pettersson. He's just really become a rock solid defenseman over the last 2 years. And a good match for Carlson's skill set. But I think Carlson deserves credit as well. I mean, he's defending hard. He uses his skating to disrupt at the blue line and to just kind of pen people in the perimeter offensively. So, yeah, it's been great all around. And I do think there's more there in terms of, his own scoring and playmaking off the rush.
Is there any more you mentioned there off the rush? Is there any more that he can provide to this team, or is that not the role? I lead with that saying, what you wrote about how he's been excellent at the stretch passes going from cross ice, but with entering the zone, that's something that he was asked to do a lot in San Jose, to be the guy leading the charge into the zone offensively. Is that something that we could perhaps see more from Carlson here, or just given the way the team is composed, is structured, that's not necessarily something that's a responsibility for Carlson or something he needs to be asked to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I was talking about. Yeah, I mean, there's more to his game. That's one way he can do it. He hasn't needed to do it. You know, the context of these two teams are completely different. When he was in San Jose, they didn't have a lot of talent. He needed to do a lot more than he has to do in Pittsburgh. There's probably going to be times where they need him to be more assertive and jump into the play, get into the inner slot to try to score goals and, you know, in zone sequences. That's there. But I think for the most part, he's just doing a better job over the last 2 weeks of just kind of fitting into the way the Penguins want to play and just kind of figuring out, okay, the timing of these plays, how to get to the puck to these guys on the move, and just kind of getting used to his new teammates as well as Sullivan's system.
Right. You earlier brought up the third line. That's another point I wanted to get into here. It's been no secret. It's been written about a lot of how Radim Zahorna has injected life into that group. You brought up Drew O'Connor with the first goal of the season for him, first, I believe, since March of last year. Across the board, there have been a lot of metrics that point to why the third line has been good, or rather has been better at the very least relative to last season. When you look at this group, is this one that, whether it's the cast in place, the three guys they got on that line, or the production they're getting, is this a group that you sustainably look at as can be a positive, a net positive for the Penguins?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know if this trio of players is going to go wire to wire in terms of playing together. There will be shuffling, whether that's due to injuries or, you know, whenever the team starts to struggle again, which is inevitable in an 82-game season. But I do think, you know, there's enough there where you do wonder if this is a line that could stay together for a long time, which, you know, if you look at that situation going into the training camp, we didn't even know which of these guys was going to be on the team and who was going to play with whom. I mean, the third line was the big question mark. I think we all kind of thought we knew what the first, second, and fourth lines would look like. So, yeah, I think that's a positive development itself. Even if we don't see, you know, O'Connor, Eller, and Zahorna stay together, those three guys are all playing pretty well and have been impactful players. And, you know, maybe we see a guy move up the lineup. I mean, you mentioned Raquel struggling. Maybe it gets to the point where he gets dropped down to the third line, or, you know, maybe the fourth line is a problem. They have to shuffle that. But I think you can feel good. And the key thing here is we know Lars Eller is definitely going to be in that third line, until there's an injury to one of the top two guys. I think he's played really well. You wonder how he's going to hold up over the long season. He's, you know, in his mid-30s, older guy. I know they're trying to manage his minutes a little bit. That's why we don't see him a ton on the power play, the number two power play. But I think the fact that he's fit in well, he's playing well defensively, and has been a pretty good playmaker as well. And heck, that shorthanded goal he scored against the Kings was a real beauty. So I think you can feel good about that. And we'll just see, you know, if those two wingers, you know, how long they stick on his line. But that's been a big part of their success for sure here over the last couple of weeks.
Has the play from Eller at all been a surprise to you, just based on the reputation the guy had built up, certainly as a strong defensive player and can contribute occasionally offensively? But is there anything about his game over the last 13 games he's gotten the chance to play here in Pittsburgh that stood out to you about Eller's game, that maybe he has more left in the tank that you and I might have thought coming into the year?
I mean, I wouldn't say surprised. I mean, you don't want to make assumptions that guys are going to fit in seamlessly. I mean, you talk about that third line center spot. We've seen plenty of guys rotate through that spot over the years, and some like Nick Bonino were great fits. Other guys like Derek Brassard proved to be poor fits for whatever reason. So you never really know. But in terms of just what he's brought to the table, I think he's come as advertised. He's a really good defensive center, responsible two-way player, and he's a pretty good playmaker. I know he scored that beautiful goal that I just talked about. He's not really known as a scorer. And I don't think he's suddenly going to become a 20-goal guy at 34 or whatever he is. But, in terms of what he's brought to the table, I think this is kind of what I wouldn't say expected, but kind of was hoped. And yeah, you just never know how guys are going to fit in. But so far, he's been a great fit for them.
Mentioning new fits and new additions, Riley Smith is one who certainly has fit in for the Penguins, whether that's at 5-on-5 or 5-on-5, excuse me, or on the power play. Since he's been added, the Penguins power play has seemed to find another level. You mentioned how there's the fluky goal with the Carlson power play goal, but in general, over this last 4-game stretch, seems to have taken another step forward. 27% conversion rate over that stretch. That's the better half of the league. I guess it's a two-part question. The first would be, was the key to finding something more sustainable to power play adding Smith? Or what do you think has been the key to allowing the power play to find more success if this is a sustainable model?
Well, I think most people would probably say, well, it couldn't have been any worse. So they had nowhere to go with up. And I would agree with that. I mean, we see it time after time with these core players. You know, they start to struggle on the power play, then they start to overthink it, and it just kind of snowballs. And that's what we saw early in the season from their top players. So getting back to some successful stuff, Smith certainly helped, though. You know, no offense to Brian Rust or Carter Cowell. They're good players. They're just, you know, these guys all have different strengths and weaknesses. I think with Smith, he's been really good attacking on that left flank, which has opened some stuff up. He's decisive, which they need, just someone to speed it up. Like, you compare him with Raquel, for example. Raquel's just a more deliberate player, patient, takes his time. And I think this group needs to be sped up a little bit. And I think Smith has helped there. But, you know, I think the bigger thing is just the other guys on the power play, you know, just being a little bit more assertive. I think we've seen that more from Carlson, which has been a big part of it. You know, we talked about him just needing to shoot more. You know, obviously the Pens need to have guys in front of the net, which helps. But yeah, I think him shooting more and being a little bit more assertive has helped as well. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Still a couple of goose eggs in there over that stretch. And as you noted, you know, the goal they scored against Buffalo was pretty fluky, but I think you could feel good about how they were moving the puck in the power play prior to that. So the talent's there. The Penguins will point to the advanced statistics to say that they're getting good looks. You know, we'll just see if they can keep it going. But that's the thing, I think, you know, if they can take that power play to another level, and this is something where we see them, you know, converting it 25% or so the rest of the way, that's going to make them a very dangerous team, because they're already scoring a boatload of goals right now. And if you get more on the power play, look out.
One troubling trend I want to bring up, because you mentioned that point of how the power play, if it can reach that level, how impactful it can be. This one might be just entirely luck, but based on the numbers right now, the Penguins have spent the least time on the power play of any team in the league. Is that a trend that anybody should glean anything into, or is that just happenstance, random chance, or what would you say could possibly be an explanation for that statistic?
Well, I think that was the case last year too. You know, they're just not a team that has drawn a lot of penalties. You know, there's probably a few theories you could throw out there. One being they don't have a lot of Mark Friedman types who draw retaliatory penalties. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I know the Penguins will probably feel that they should get more penalties in there, but yeah, I mean, that's another thing too. Like for the power play, I mean, they typically get better the more power plays they get, as long as they're doing something with them. They just start to figure some stuff out. They start to get some confidence. They start to get some momentum, more puck touches for their stars. And you know, over the course of a game, if you get five power plays as opposed to three, you know, it's going to make more of a difference. But it's hard to really pinpoint why they haven't been able to do it, other than they don't have a lot of agitators, and you know, maybe they're not going to the net enough as well. I don't know. Put on your reporter hat. Ask Mike Sullivan that, and see if he wants to play ball.
Let's see how he likes that one. No, it was one that came to mind, because I thought that, you know, with the power play struggles, one thing that came to mind is I realized that maybe they aren't actually getting that many chances, and that's been part of the reason that it took a little bit of time to gel. And with having Carlson in there, I just wondered if that was part of it. Was, hey, maybe that it's taking a little bit of time to get to it because they're not having all that many real in-game chances, and that was part of the slower development that maybe is starting to come together here. Who knows? Just
well, we get to watch them in practice, and there's been plenty of days where they didn't look great in practice either. I know it's not quite the same circumstances as a game, but I think there's more to it than just not getting enough power plays in games. I mean, I think they've had a lot of issues to sort out, which is to be expected when you're taking Chris Letang off the top power play and putting a new unique player in there in Carlson.
Right. One final special teams topic before we wrap up our discussion here. Wanted to ask you about the penalty kill. It's pretty much been good all year. I believe it's 11th in the NHL at a kill clip of 83%. Certainly that's a trend the Penguins would like to continue, just based off of last year's struggles, especially in the second half. It's a lot of new guys out there killing penalties. Is this a trend, Matt, that you look at as can continue? And I guess second would be, how important would it be for it to continue for the Penguins?
Obviously it would be important. And yeah, I think this is one where it definitely can continue. I feel pretty good about it continuing. You know, I think Mike Vellucci, the assistant coach who runs the PK, is a good coach. He's very aggressive. in terms of pressuring up the ice. And, you know, I like the way he coaches that unit. But the personnel, I think, is the big thing here. I just think their personnel is so much better than it was last year. You know, and we'll start with two guys who aren't new. Chris Letang has become a big part of the PK. That's one of the byproducts of Carlson being added to the mix. And Letang going off the top power play means the Penguins are giving him more minutes by playing him in the PK. He's been very good. Brian Rust as well. I mean, Mike Sullivan the other day called him their best penalty killer on the team. He's another guy who's been used a lot on the PK. You know, obviously that's not a new development, but, you know, it feels like, not super prepared here, but it feels like he's playing more on the PK than he has in recent years. And if not, it just feels like he's making the most of those minutes. He's just been more impactful. So those guys have been great. Eller has fit in well. Achari has fit in well. He's a guy you notice a lot blocking shots. Graves is a good defender. So, you know, I think the personnel has a lot to do with it. You know, the group of guys they had last year, they just never really came together. And then there's goaltending. I think goaltending ties into that as well. You know, I know it's like a total cliche when they're like, oh, the best penalty killers are goaltender. Well, that means your penalty kill wasn't very good, and then the goalie had to bail you out. I don't see those two things as being completely tied together. But when you are getting the saves you need, you know, I think all their goalies have played well this year. At least, you know, we're seeing it now, at least from Jari, he's playing well. So I think all those things tied together, you know, suggest that this can be a top 10 unit going forward. And again, that's important, especially when you look at like some of these bottom six players, you know, even if they're not making a big impact at 5-on-5, looking at you fourth line, you know, those guys can make up for it some by being really good on the PK. And I think that's been one of the redeeming things for Achari in particular. He just really hasn't been super noticeable at 5-on-5 so far. Maybe that changes. He's in a new situation. But he has been pretty good on the PK.
Right. Certainly a big wraparound there. A lot of guys to touch on there. And certainly you bring up the Chris Letang point. That's one that's certainly been noticeable to me. It's just been, it's no secret. This is a guy who could be successful on the PK, has shown that in his career. And getting him back in that role, he's done pretty darn well in that.
I should mention Riley Smith, too. I didn't anticipate him being a regular in the PK when they acquired him. But we've seen him used a good amount, too. And you know, they're not really a team that is like pushing to score shorthanded goals. But, you know, you have him out on the ice or Brian Rust or Lars Eller. You know, it's not quite like having like Brad Marchand and Bergeron out there. But those are guys that the other teams have to worry about, that they are capable of making power plays pay if they get a little reckless out near their blue line.
Right. It's certainly a more skilled group at the very least compared to last year's one that, yeah, like you said, you got some talent there, some guys who can put the pucks in if the situation arises. But I think that does it for us on our trends discussion. That takes us into our stick taps. Balls in your corner or pucks in your corner, Matt. Who are you giving stick taps out to?
I don't think I'm stealing yours. I can't remember what you picked, but I'm going to go with Magnus Hellberg. That's not yours, right? I didn't steal it?
All good.
Great. Yeah, obviously, Hellberg came in and played very well in two different situations. I mean, coming in a 1-0 game to replace Jari late in Anaheim, stopping 11 of 11 to help the Pens get that win, a 2-0 win. I think that's awesome. And then in his first start with the Penguins, you know, I think he played really well in L.A. I mean, the team readily admitted they probably didn't deserve to win that game. And they held on to win. It wasn't all because of Hellberg, but I thought he was very well, played very well. So, yeah, I mean, if that guy's your third goalie, I think you can feel pretty good about that. And I will say, too, like, you know, Alex Nedeljkovic is nearing a return, it appears. He's been skating individually. He can be activated in about a week or so. You know, and he's not going to lose his job due to injury. But you do wonder if, you know, at some point this season we see Hellberg overtake him for the backup. And that's not necessarily a knock on Nedeljkovic. I think Hellberg's been really, really good. And I think he has learned a lot about himself late in his career and become a pretty capable NHL goalie. It's also funny. He was, you know, Will Ferrell was at that Kings game and he was in the corner behind Hellberg and they scored a goal. And I saw Will Ferrell celebrate a little bit, kind of a muted celebration, at least as you expect from Will Ferrell. But after the game, I was like, I said to Hellberg, I was like, did you know Will Ferrell was like right behind you? And he was like, oh, I didn't. He was like, oh, he's one of my favorite actors. I would have He was all excited. What a guy. So that doesn't have anything to do with anything. I just wanted to share that story.
I mean, it's a fun one. I saw that written. Your game stories dovetail in that conversation. I always enjoy reading your pieces, but it makes me laugh when I read game stories from, you know, remote locations where you do a good job of like inserting the local flavor.
Like how I was writing about weed in Anaheim.
Yeah,
all had like a contact buzz up in the press box. I swear to God. So somebody was like getting high and more power to them, like right below the press box. But yeah, it was a fun game. I had a bunch of chocolate chip cookies.
Wonder why, man. That's a big surprise. But no, that's just a funny conversation there. For my stick tap, I'll go to Ryan Shea. Some fans might be surprised why I'm giving him that stick tap. The reason I do is because the third pair was a big question mark for the Penguins coming into the year. And when you're not talking about guys the way that we were talking about P.O. Joseph and Chad Ruedel after the Detroit game, when those guys were, you know, they struggled pretty mightily against the Red Wings in that loss. Ryan Shea, we haven't talked about a lot because the third pair hasn't been an issue. It's his first NHL season. He's come up here and looks like he belongs opposite Ruedel. It's a very different conversation on P.O. Joseph, who's been a healthy scratch 8 of 9 games. But stick taps to Shea for getting up to speed, seems like pretty darn quickly here at the NHL level.
I don't know if the third pair, you say it has been an issue. Maybe it hasn't been a huge issue because of Shea. Yeah, it's surprising. He's the one guy that has consistently played well in that third pair. It'll be interesting to see what happens when John Ludvig comes back in terms of the other two guys. But I think Shea has more than shown that he belongs in the NHL. I got to say, he's a guy, you know, they signed him in July. And I was like, all right, here's like another depth guy who's going to be, you know, enjoying the fine cuisine in Wilkes-Barre. So that's on me for not really. What's that Shaq meme? Like, oh, sorry. Like, I apologize. I wasn't familiar with your game.
Yeah.
That's me right now. He's been pretty good.
A tremendous reference right there. I did not expect you to pull that out of your bag. That's great, Matt.
Well, you spend a lot of time staring at your phone when your kids are watching Bluey and Oogie and things of this nature. You learn about all the cool things the kids are memeing about.
Man, you just crapped on my two favorite TV shows. All right, never mind. Whatever. I thought it was
all right.
Whatever. All right,
let's get out of here. If we're talking about how you watch Bluey, we better get you off the hook here.
All right, that's it. Thanks for tuning in, guys, to the podcast. We'll catch you all next week. Be sure to keep up with our content on the Post-Gazette website, and we will catch you all next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.